Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all this morning. Hope you're enjoying these cold mornings, which I'm not, but it's nice to be here. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, you might encourage us, that we might see what it is that you're trying to tell us, and that we might be able to put it into practice in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if everybody knows, but I love gardening. And mainly vegetables. Marge is always saying, "Why don't I grow flowers?" But can't eat flowers. Well, you can some. But I like in the garden. And of course, in the summertime, I like growing tomatoes. And this year, I've had an amazing response to my tomatoes. 8 feet tall. Would you believe that? 8 feet tall. Of course, as usual, I pick off the laterals and in order to. That the fruit might grow bigger and all of those kind of things. And I must admit, when I'm picking these off, I sometimes think the vine and the branches and think of what Jesus has said about the vine and the Father and those kind of things. And in our reading for today, and in fact this whole chapter of John, chapter 15, is in my mind when I'm doing that. Jesus, the vine, and the branches. But this chapter is about, really it's about relationships. And of course much of John's gospel is about relationships. Jesus and the Father. Jesus with Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Shepherd and the sheep. Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Jesus and his disciples, and so it goes on. And this chapter talks about the relationship that Jesus has with his heavenly Father and the Father's relationship with him and the relationship between him and his disciples. The illustration that Jesus uses of the vine and the branches, I reckon, is just a wonderful choice of illustration. It was one that his followers would have understood. I mean, after all, wine was the common drink of the day. And we see the first reference to that in John chapter 2, when at the wedding of Cana of Galilee the wine runs out and Jesus turns the water into wine. And they would have passed many vineyards as he and his disciples wandered through Israel. But here in this chapter of John, Jesus wants his disciples to have a strong connection to him. He wants his disciples to be fruitful. In fact, so much so that if they're not, they will be cut off and have no further connection with him. And it will be the Father who will do the pruning and the cutting. After all, he is the gardener. Now, I don't want to go over all that was preached last week, but I do want to stress how Jesus saw the importance of relationships. Relationships can be costly, they can be broken, they can be hurtful, they can be painful. When a friendship ends, it's a sad time. When a marriage breaks down, there is sadness. When there is a death, there is sadness. Where there is a breakdown in trust, there is sadness. And I think that most people would want to avoid all these if they possibly could. Of course, there's one there that you can't avoid. You can't avoid. What's that one? Death. Yes. Can't avoid that. But all the rest, friendship, marriage, trust, they can all be avoided. And if properly fulfilled, bring joy and happiness. They are indeed worthwhile relationships. But Jesus stresses two things that link him to the Father. That bond could not be broken. And that was love and obedience. And it's obedience that makes their love strong. In verses 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, And again in verse 15, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. It's the depth of love that Jesus wants with his disciples, and it's the depth of love that he wants them to have with him. Add to this the desire of Jesus for his disciples to love and to have that same love for each other. Now, as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking, how can this be achieved? Jesus has said that his disciples should obey his command in the same way that he obeyed his Father's command. My command, says Jesus, is that you love each other as I have loved you. He does not say this just once, but repeats it again. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. Again I ask, how do we do it? There's no doubt that our relationship with Jesus and with his is unique. There's no other religion in the world that has this intimate relationship. Most religions are built on fear. Ours is built on love, costly love. Jesus' love for us came at a cost, the cost of his own life on the cross of Calvary. His disciples, he told his disciples, greater love is no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now I have to say that as much as I love all of you, I doubt if I'd be prepared to die for you. But then again, maybe you wouldn't die for me either. Of course, the situation may change and circumstances may change. And I would like to think that maybe I would die for you. You know, I read of clergy in other countries where they have been prepared to give their lives for their people. Amazing. The shepherd dying for the sheep, following the example of the good shepherd. What all of this says, I think, is that the relationship between the followers of Jesus should be deep and not just based on human friendship, but on a deep commitment to Jesus and through him and following his example. There's no doubt that when Christians are in conflict with each other, when there is divisions in a church, it's clear that there is no love there. There can't be. And when this happens, it's not only the church that sees the breakdown in this love, but also those who are outside the church. For whatever the reason, that love has been destroyed. And let me just assure you that I don't see that problem here. So what is it that destroys the love that should be between the followers of Jesus? Because there are times when it is destroyed. What is it that causes this shattering of relationships? I think that it can be selfishness. It can be pride, greed, envy, selfish ambition, jealousy, hatred, factions, discord. All of the things that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5. But I think that the one thing above all others for me is that we take our eyes off Jesus. I was thinking about when Peter got out of the boat to walk to Jesus on the water. And while he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, all was well. But the moment he looked away, he began to sink. And when we take our eyes off Jesus, I don't know about you, but for me, when I take my eyes off Jesus and it happens, and focus them on someone or something else, then we move away from his love, the love that God has for us. It's not that Jesus takes away his love for us. It is that we have separated ourselves from his love. We turn our backs on what he wants to give us. We also believe that it's important for us to bear fruit for Jesus. And when there is division in the church, then that fruit will never be born. And there is a real need for true repentance, for that love to be restored. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And he says this in verse 8 and again in verse 16. In a way, I think that this can be achieved in part by our loving one another. In the early church, the love that existed between Christians was seen by those who were outside of the church, and they could say, see how these Christians love one another. Love should be the hallmark of Christians. I don't know whether any of you ever watch the Antique Roadshow. Perhaps that's only people of my age or whatever, but watch the Antique Roadshow. But they'll produce a piece of silver, a vase or something, and they'll turn it upside down, and there's the hallmark, and it says that it's genuine, and who made it, and who it belonged to, and all this sort of stuff. I'm not suggesting that we'll be turned upside down to have a look at the hallmark. But I still believe that love is the hallmark of a Christian. That ought to be the hallmark of a Christian. This was not a request that Jesus made to his disciples, but rather a command. Love each other. As you can tell, I'm still thinking about how we can fulfill this command of Jesus. And I've come to the conclusion that what is needed is for me to see that Jesus not only died for me, but for you. And you. And you. And you. For every person. That Jesus is the vine. And we ought to see them as being connected to Jesus in the same way as we are. I'm not sure if we do this well. I'm not sure if we look to see Jesus in our fellow Christian, even. In those we sit beside in church, for instance. Do we see them as being any different to any other person in the street? Do we see them as someone whom Jesus has died for? I'm not sure if we do. I'm not, and neither am I sure if we give ourselves to them in a way making a commitment to them. When we say that we love God, then what is also required in that commitment is our love for our fellow human being, those both inside and outside the church. And the reason for all this is so that we might experience the joy that Jesus wants us to have. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Last week, Marge and I went down to the send-off or the commissioning of Suze before she went on her missionary task overseas. And there were people there from all over the place, people who we didn't know. And yet they'd come up, oh, great, 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 good to see you. Hugs, kisses, all sorts of things. There was a great sense of joy that permeated this whole service. And that same sense of joy is something that we need to have here too, isn't it? With each other. There is no doubt that we need to continually examine our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with our fellow believers. It's one thing to talk about loving one another. It's almost like greeting each other with peace. It can be so mechanical. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. But how deep is it? How deep is our love for each other? It's a command that Jesus gives us. One of the few commands that Jesus gives us. And that is to love each other. To love each other. And so I guess this morning I want to encourage you to think about the person you're sitting next to, behind, in front of. How deep is the love that you have for them? How deep is that love? We thank you for your love to us, dear Lord. And we pray that we might have love for each other as you have commanded of us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.